Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're about to make a change in your life and you feel uncomfortable, that's the best feeling you can have. Because for the first time in your life, you're making a decision that's going to be best for you and not what somebody told you to do. And that's when all bets are off.
Welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass. I'm your host, Rashawn McDonald. Our theme is there's no perfect time to start following your dreams. I recognize that we all have different definitions of success. For you, it may be the size of your paycheck. It's time to stop reading other people's success stories and start living your own. Keep winning.
Yes, sir. Welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass. The reality is this is a live show, which means that sometimes I might make a mistake and it cannot get corrected. But I will tell you, when I make a mistake, it will be an honest mistake. And I don't make many. We listen to Money Making Conversation Masterclass. The interviews and the information that this show provides are for everyone. And I always tell people, it's time to start reading other people's success stories. I say that a lot because we always want to be something that we're not. You know, I knew a long time ago I couldn't sing. Even though I wanted to play basketball, I knew I couldn't dunk. So I had to figure out my goals. My goals wasn't tied to athleticism and my goals weren't tied to music. I had to figure out my strength. There's a lot of people running around here trying to be what they cannot be. It means you're reading other people's success stories. Start planning a success story that you can win with. That's why I always say keep winning. I say keep winning because I'm trying to encourage you to not settle because people have told you this is what you're supposed to be doing. Keep winning means keep looking forward, keep moving forward. I have a catchphrase, staying ahead of the ignorance. That means that there are people out there who are trying to stop you from being who you are capable of being because they want to catch you in an area that makes you comfortable to them. Let's get this show started. My guest is a game changer. He's the founder and CEO of the National Center of Urban Solutions and created the African-American Male Wellness Walk Run Initiative. He's on this show to talk about that, his career, things he's overcame, and things that most people say, hey, I'm tired. Life is not giving me an even deal. I'm just going to sit back and cry. Not this guy. Please welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass, the incredible John Gregory. How you doing, John?
Hey, I'm doing great.
John, we came together, you know, we're both Black men, and we've also been frustrated by health awareness of our community. Tell us how that impacted you.
Well, let me say, first of all, I am grateful that you're having this conversation with me. I was ever so impressed with your energy and your synergy, and I, too, I wake up every morning and look in the mirror and say, I'm a winner. Mm-hmm. So I live by that model. Mm-hmm. About 20 years ago, I was doing a workforce program, and I was trying to figure out why Black young men weren't going to work between the ages of 18 and 30. And so I was doing a research project, and I was like, let me figure out why these brothers, are they lazy? Is they got some amendment going on? What is really going on? And I did a project, and I required that the brothers, I got about 100 brothers a job, and I required them from the ages of 18 to 30, when they got ready to pick up their paycheck, they had to get a biometric screen. And after 120 days of the biometric screens, the nurses came to me and said, Mr. Gregory, these young men are sick. They have high glucose, they have high blood pressure, they have high cholesterol, and three of these guys need to go see a doctor right away. Mm. And after that, somebody said, John, what are we going to do? And I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. I said, what do white people do? I was like, oh, they walk. I was like, you know, they got breast cancer, they got kidney walks, they mm-hmm. got swim for diabetes, they do all of that. Mm-hmm. And so I looked, there was no one addressing this issue. And then a doctor came to a meeting I was having, and he said, black men are dying and nobody cares, and they're just dying of preventable diseases. And so us walking was starting that first step, trying to get us to a solution.
But you know, when you start a new idea, John, that's when you have the biggest doubters, the biggest people there to say why are you doing this? Nobody's gonna show up because it's walking. You know, black people out there. You know, there's stereotypes you're battling with. Like you said, you battling stereotypes when you're talking about trying to employ young men between this age that people are telling you they don't want to work. But you had an idea. I want to talk about the obstacles you had to overcome to even make the idea a reality, which is in now 18 cities.
Well, you know, I had to, I guess I never really see obstacles because where I come from, I see obstacles as opportunities. Mm-hmm. And when I first did this, you know, I knew that, and I'm about the solutions. And so, you know, all over the country, we're talking about black men, black boys, they did a report came out about 4 years ago and said that black men by the year 2030 was going to be at the bottom of the totem pole. And so, you know, when I look and see that, it motivates me to do something. So even when I started this, I didn't worry about who was going to believe in me. I just called some brothers up and tested it though. So I called the Kappas up and told them the Q's was coming. I called the Q's and told them the Alphas was coming. I called the Baptists up and said the Methodists was coming. So, you know, we competitive.
Right, and, right.
And when our brothers got out there at 7 in the morning and they saw about 700 brothers out there, it motivated
them. And this is in Columbus, Ohio, right?
This is in Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
And they're the ones that came back and said, we got to do this again.
Right.
They said this is unbelievable because it was networking. It was brothers talking to brothers. We were all on the phones calling the news media up and saying, hey, if we were out shooting each other, you'd be covering this.
Right.
It became a rally call for black folks because it was something that black men were doing. And so they said, we got to do this again. The next year we had 1,800 black men show up at 7 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, 20 years later, we have 30,000 people show up every year to participate in this event.
Now, the thing about it, now, this is the event that's open to all genders. You know, with ladies, you want to walk, please come. In fact, we may need you to help bring some of these black men to these events because when we feel an honorary or that ain't for me, let me just throw some facts about this event that really made me an advocate of the African-American Male Wellness Agency, which creates this Black Men Wellness Day, which is happening in Houston, Texas, April 27th. On the campus of the University of Houston. I am the honorary chair. I would let everybody know I'm proud to say that. But what I also want to say is that in one of the events last year, and it's in Columbus, Ohio, in Houston, Texas, 5,000 men were screened. That's black men were screened. 56% did not know they had high blood pressure. Listen to me now.
No, and here's the thing is, it's 85% of the men screened had high blood pressure. And of those 85%, 56% of them didn't even know.
Wow. And then 20% of the men screened went to the ER immediately, correct? This is in Houston, Texas.
That's in every walk we have across the country. 20% of the men that we screen have to go to the emergency room immediately.
And then you also screen men for prostate cancer.
We screen prostate cancer. We screen. I was just in a meeting in Detroit, and they talked about last year. We also do HIV screening, and they talked about the number of men that tested positive for HIV. And HIV, white men don't even die of HIV anymore. Black men have the alarming rate of dying of HIV.
And when you start talking about, you know, we can trivialize this, you know, because when I say that, because we don't talk about it. We just think it's all cool, you know, it's not me, but the facts are there, you know. I just looked at, did a little homework on myself, John, about a study that showed in 2021 that, you know, the average age expectancy when you combine all racial ethnic groups is 76.1 years. Now, when you start breaking it down in each race, you know, Hispanics is 77.7 years. Whites is 76.4 years. Asians is 83 years. Who's at the bottom? Blacks, 70.8 years. And that's what this walk is all about. We are dying faster than any racial group. I'm talking about black men in any racial group that's out there. And we can stop that by understanding our health. And that's what this race is all about, correct?
Yes, sir. And actually, it's dependent on where you live. So in Jackson, Mississippi, which is the sickest city in America for black men, the number is a 20-year gap. In some places like Atlanta, then the gap might be 15, 12 years of a gap. So it depends on where you are in America, where that gap is. We know that on average, black men live 12 years or less than white men.
And that's so when you do an event like this, because you know you're doing 18 of them or different times of the year. I'm fortunate to be a member of the involved in the group in Houston at the on the campus of University of Houston, April 27th. Like you said, the race starts at 7 a.m. Are there any fees for runners to participate?
There is no fee. One thing we do with this event, and we thank companies like Johnson & Johnson and Genentech and Gilead, Abbott, because it's totally free. We knew that if we put a fee on this, black men was going to say, I ain't got that kind of money to pay for that. I'm not going to pay to go walk. And so even we do it, it's a free event. Everything's in print. The screenings are free. There's doctors there to interpret the results are free. You get all kinds of different kinds of screening. You get it. Some places you get an EKG, you get you may get a prostate. All this is free. It's all free. And it's free, like you said, everybody's welcome to come. Blacks, whites, women. I always tell women, if you're looking for a husband, it's a great place to come look for a husband. At least you know he's trying to be wealthy, healthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the thing about it, you know, I first of all, I applaud you. I applaud you because of the fact that, you know, we kind of laugh about our eating habits. I'm talking about the black community. It showed its colors in the COVID period because we were the highest death. We had the highest death rate. And a lot of it was tied to our cholesterol level, high blood pressure level, and obesity. And when you turned that corner, did the COVID change anything from the perspective? Because you started your event prior to COVID. Then COVID happened. What's the lifestyle approach that the black male community is exhibiting to you now?
I would say we still, when you talk about just last year, screening 5,000 black men and 85% of them have high blood pressure and 56% of them didn't even know, we still have not taken this very seriously. And it's so preventable. All you got to do is go to the doctor, know your numbers and moves. So, you know, even during COVID, when the revelation came, you know, some of that is just, unfortunately, in our society, we've had a lot of illicit racial bias is around along health. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, we're doing a study on continuous glucose monitors. And, you know, I went to them and said, they got 10 social determinants of health. I'm like, how do you got 10 social determinants of health? You should have 11. If you don't have technology in your home, if you don't have the ability to do telehealth, you don't get to see the doctor right away.
Right.
It may be three months before you can get a doctor. telehealth, get you a doctor. That's what COVID revealed, that the systems that have been put up really does not help a lot of Black folks become more healthy, because the systems that we have to navigate, or the illicit biases that physicians have when they see a Black person, what they don't offer them, like peripheral artery disease. It's a screening that you're supposed to get around your legs, and if the numbers in your legs are different than the numbers in your arms, then there's an indication that you have a blood flow problem. And it also is a way that you can stop amputation. Do you know that there really is no reason why a person should be amputated? How many Black people are still getting amputated? Because we don't have, when you go to ask doctors, well, how come you don't tell us about this? Well, they don't tell us about it because they don't think we can afford it, or our insurance will cover it. So you have all this illicit bias, which was the revelation of COVID, of how Black people are sicker because we are not getting the same treatment.
Wow. I'm talking to John Gregory, and we're going to continue this conversation. I'm also an honorary chair for the Black Men's Wellness Day that's happening in Houston, Texas. That's Saturday, April 27th at 7 a.m. We're going to start walking. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're in Oklahoma, Arkansas, or, you know, any of the connecting states, Texas, period, hear my voice. Come join us, April 27th. The walk is free, complimentary, as they say on NPR. But one thing we are trying to do is make your man, your dad, your friend, your partner, your cousin, your best friend, live a better life. And that's because we care. Be right back with Mr. John Gregory on Money Making Conversation Masterclass. Don't go nowhere.
Please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Money Making Conversations Masterclass. Money Making Conversations Masterclass continues online at moneymakingconversations.com. And follow Money Making Conversations Masterclass on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024. And we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Money Making Conversations Masterclass, hosted by Rashawn McDonald.
I'm speaking to Mr. John Gregory. He's the founder and CEO of the National Center of Urban Solutions. That's one part. We've been talking about the African-American Male Wellness Run Initiative that I am an honorary chair of for April 27th in Houston, Texas. But I want to bring up something about you, sir. You lost your sight. And let's discuss that, because I think that when one gets in life, you can get down on yourself. you know, you can say, hey, life is not dealing me an even hand. Tell us about your backstory on how you lost your sight and how did you overcome that? I know it's a daily overcome, but it had to be an emotional hurdle to jump to be the positive person I always meet whenever I see you.
Well, 8 years ago, I had been to New Orleans, planning a walk, was coming home, got on the airplane, and I noticed that I had some cloudiness in my eyes. And I was like, But then when I was coming home, my eyes were clear. I was like, I'm fine. The next morning I woke up and I looked and I said, I can't see. I went to the doctor. The doctor was like, this is temporary. I had eye surgery. I had three of the finest eye doctors in the country operate on me. They said, you'll be okay in 6 weeks. It never got clear. But, you know, the funny thing is that I never really thought about it being blind because I knew that, number one, I had a company to run. Mm-hmm. And number two is that I didn't want life to be over. So, you know, even the day I went to get eye surgery, I went to work that afternoon, and I haven't missed a day of work since. But in the midst of that, I ended up having two bouts of cancer. I also had a disease that that I got a an infection in my back that went to my foot. Mm-hmm. And so for about 6 months, I was on this medication because I had a severe infection. So those back 8 years, you know, I was really going through. But never, even with my cancer and the radiation and what have you, I didn't miss work. I'd go do the radiation. And a woman told me something at the hospital. She said, you could choose to live or you could choose to go home and die. That's what you could choose. Mm-hmm. And so from her saying that, I've learned to be blind. And I've learned that, you know, life is a little different. I tell people all the time, I can't see. I do comedy shows. I come to work. You know, I've just not stopped. And the only time I probably really thought about it was that people have been telling me I should get a stick. And right. I was like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty blind, not blind. I'm telling me I need to get a stick. So I got a stick, and I was like, well, the stick don't tell you which direction to go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I thought about it for a minute. I threw the stick away and said, you know what? I'm okay. But blindness, it is an interesting experience because I've had to learn to, I still dress myself. And people ask me, they go like, you dress really nice. And I'm like, yep, I figured this out. it takes me a little longer to do stuff. My wife told me one day, she was like, what's taking you so long? I was like, duh, I am blind. but no, I mean, and I can see where, you know, have you ever been to the airport? How many blind people do you see in the airport? You ever go places, you hardly, I even asked, I said, what do y'all do with all the blind people? Because I never hardly saw any blind people. And now that I'm out, right, I still don't see a lot of blind people.
Now, do you think that's due to people just wanting to be comfortable or not wanting to be stared at or feel they are an annoyance? When you say that,
how would they know if somebody was staring at them? They can't see.
Well, you know, we walk in a room and you just feel uncomfortable. That room makes you feel uncomfortable. You ever been? You've been in those type of rooms. Now you know, John. You go, man, this ain't the room.
I can tell you, I used to feel uncomfortable when I was young because I grew up in an all white neighborhood.
Right.
And when I went around black people, I'd be like, hey guys, and they would be like, hey guys. But other than that, I never really felt uncomfortable. I don't even think about it. Now that I'm blind, I can't see. I've been with you all the time. I can't see anyway, so I don't care what you're doing.
That's right. And that's the motivation. But I think it's key when you look at yourself. And I just wanted to share that story because you're a motivator. And I think that's important. Like, I'm a cancer survivor, too. And I know when I was announced, when it was announced to me I had cancer, cancer is a powerful word. Once you hear that word, it sends you on a story about I don't care what the doctor says. He said cancer. So you have to make a decision on what that means to you in your life. Like you said, that person, you could live or you can just go home and cry. Because either way, it's going to, you're not, cancer is going to be with you. Even when they say you're cured of cancer, you still have cancer. You know, you just don't walk out the room. So you have to go through your annual checkups and everything. Hopefully it doesn't come back. But when I look at your life, man, you know, not only you do have the Black Men Wellness, but you're also a forerunner in the training of blacks for technology. How did that come about?
I started doing a welfare to work program because I was like, you know, welfare was the worst thing that could ever happen to the black community. Free. And so I was working in this community. It was drug infested. And it came on me that what we needed to do was get people jobs and education. And so, you know, I started training people, getting them up. We've gotten 30,000 women off of public assistance. And then as the workforce changed, I was like, we need to make sure that we are training black people to take these technology jobs. You know, it's no longer called the white collar or the blue collar. It's called new collar worker. And the new collar worker is the worker that doesn't need a college degree. Oh, they can go get a job. And so mm-hmm. We're training people. We're the only black-owned company in the country that Amazon allows to do their Amazon products. And so you can come to us and get a fiber optics certification and get a job making $26, $27 an hour without any formal education. So that's how this is just another way for us to make sure that black people become self-sufficient and take care of themselves. You know, they did a study where you get people employment and education, crime drops. Where they have just community policing, crime stays stagnant. So if we want to resolve the violence and all that, we got to make sure we're giving people opportunities to be self-sufficient.
So that's the National Center of Urban Solutions that you founded that does the tech training through Amazon?
Yes. Amazon, Google, Advanced Manufacturing, all of that. You can come to us, STNA, EKG. You can come to us and get every one of those credentials that you would get at a two-year college.
Now, with that being said, because we get hooked, one of the things that annoys me so much, John, is that when it comes to technology, we're the ones that always get shut down, you know, even down to a phone, you know. But when you look at it, because your personality, you're a unique guy. You're just like me in a lot of ways because, you know, I've never, ever thought that I couldn't do anything. I just somehow managed to do it because the right people stepped in my life and also believed I could do it too. So when you look at yourself and give some advice to people, look at the physical setbacks you had and the fact that you know you've been a motivator. What advice would you give people and why should they be coming to this race other than the obvious, you know, to save their own life possibly?
Well, they should be coming to see you because you're somebody to see. And we're very grateful that you're there. I mean, you're going to make our life better. An exciting event, and people are very excited in Houston that you're involved and engaged. And so don't think we're just going to use you in Houston. But people should come because it's an opportunity to your car, and when your car light goes on, you take it to the shop. And so men know more about their automobiles than they do of their bodies. And so this is an opportunity for you to come get a free tune-up and get your body checked. And I said, like with women you get checked too. We have seniors there. There's a place for seniors to get some opportunities to get checked. One of the things we don't talk about in our community is Alzheimer's. But there are ways that you can get checked to see if you are heading down the Alzheimer's patch. So it's a place to get information and knowledge so the age you can live a little longer. I mean, the Bible says, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. We want people to have abundant life.
Wow. April 27th on the campus of the University of Houston. That's in Third Ward, Texas, right down the street from Texas Southern University. We're going to be there 7 a.m. In fact, I'll be in town early. You know, we probably get together, go to some of our favorite eating haunts and do our thing. But more importantly, if you are near and you know a relative that lives in the Houston area, we're talking about the Golden Triangle, we're talking up in Dallas, we're talking down in San Antonio, we're talking up in Austin, tell them to be there April 27th. Last year, they had 5,000 men show up. for this free walk, y'all. Let's say free walk for these free health screenings that are happening. I'm just telling you, it's something that, and it's not a gender issue, it's not a racial issue, it's a people issue. If we don't start helping each other live a better life, educating ourselves, encouraging people who are around us that we say we care about, because sometimes, you know, we can get to a point we just tired of. I'm just tired of telling them to live the right life. Right? He gonna eat what he gonna eat? No. Not if you show them there's other people who care about it. If you show up on April 27th at 7 a.m., actually before 7 a.m., because the race starts at 7 a.m., you will find a lot of people. You'll find a community that believes in you. You'll find a community that understands that on this day, we want you to live another day. And I always tell you, the difference that you can make in somebody's life, in your life, if you live one more day, is a wonderful thing. John, I want to thank you for calling Money Making Conversations Masterclass. And I know we're going to talk before April 27th, but in the meantime, I appreciate you taking the time to call my show.
Thank you, and thank you for who you are and the difference you're making in all people's lives.
Appreciate you, my friend. And you are, as they say, the man, John Gregg. I always wanted to call you like Shaft, man. You like just Shaft for me, you know. You're bad. Shut your mouth. Talking about John Gregory. Well, he can dig it. Talk to you soon,
hey,
brother.
Give God all the glory.
Bye. I appreciate you, man. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Money Making Conversations Masterclass. Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rushon McDonald is produced by 3815 Media, Inc. More information about 3815 Media, Inc. is available at 3815media.com. And always remember to lead with your gifts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.